let's go to Jude and let's just go ahead and read verse 3 here. In verse 3, Jude writes and says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And he goes on and talks about how certain men are coming in and trying to change things. And so I think this scripture applies as much today as it ever has. We need to earnestly contend for the faith, church. There is so much going on, and with all of the world's political correctness trying to tell you that right's wrong and wrong's right, and trying to make you accept things that the Bible says is wrong and that kind of thing, it's very important that you and I know what the Word of God says and have our faith based on the Word of God, not on the word of some man. Come on, it don't need to be on the word of a denomination. Come on, it needs to be based on the Word of God, because the Word of God will never fail you. And so he says, though, notice this, he says we need to earnestly contend for that. You know, when I see the word contend, the first thing, I mean, I know that different areas of sports, they're contenders, but the first thing that comes into my mind when I think of contend is boxing. The contenders in boxing, because they're fighting one another. And I really believe this is a picture from Jude to tell us that we're in a battle. Come on. You've got to realize we are in a battle. There's a battle going on right now for the world, but for this country also. Between good and evil, there's things going on that blows your mind, and you're just kind of like, how could somebody be that stupid? But they are. You know, you see these kind of things going on. There's a battle in the schools for our kids. And we have to see those things and know those things. So we have to contend for the faith. We can't just sit back passively and let the world do what they want to do, because the world will try their best to destroy your faith if they can. They would love to get rid of Christianity. They'd love to get rid of the Word of God. They would love to get rid of churches. Amen. And so when Jude's writing this, even though it was way back when, you and I have to look at it as a today word. It's a today word. We must earnestly contend for the faith. And to be earnest in something means I've got my heart into the thing. I think a lot of times, I can look around through the summertime, and it ain't just our church, it's every church. But in the summertime, and don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with going. Everybody needs to take vacations and have some time with their friends. There's nothing. I'm just saying, though, if you look around, you see that a lot of folks are not seriously considering their faith. Because through the summertime, there's like this mass exodus of folks that don't come to church. They're out doing things because it's pretty outside and all that. But I'm going to tell you something. Just because the weather gets pretty doesn't mean everything's fair. Come on, just because it looks good don't mean it is good. We need to earnestly contend for the faith. We need to realize that while we're out enjoying our ice cream or whatever it is we're going to do, you know, you got to realize hot dogs. I'm using ice cream on Chuck back there, you know. He likes that ice cream to go after that. No, everybody, whatever it is we do in the summertime, those things, you got to realize that still while we're enjoying ourselves, the enemy's working hard against us. And we can never forget that. That doesn't mean we can't enjoy ourselves. Now, God wants us to. But I'm telling you, we need to take our faith seriously. Come on, you either take it seriously or get it taken away. It's time for us to begin to see. I saw, maybe in Virginia or one of the other states, I saw where all kinds of religions are coming together. Christians, Muslims, they're all coming together to jump to kids. You know what? I mean, going into the meetings now, that's so many people have a whole bunch of kids. Listen, parents, they need to know what's going on in the classroom. It's getting worse and worse with the world. Now, I think about a lot of our teachers in our school system around here are godly people. Down from higher ups, they can extend the pressure on those teachers, but you just got to stay with authority. But here's the thing, standing behind them and have got their back, they just stand on that. It's junk. I've got people that will back me up. Amen. But when you look around, you can kind of see those people probably don't stand against them. I tell you what, I mean, you know, I wouldn't, I just, if I didn't think it was so important for me to come and worship my God, I just wouldn't be a Christian. You know, the truth is, a lot of them are not. They're just going through the motions because it's not really in their heart. I don't know about you, but it's in my heart to be in church.
I'm the Holy Ghost. He talks to me, you know, functions me to be here. To worship God, hands are first the Holy Ghost. You can't point to the Spirit of God. I got faith about this. You got to earn something in faith because verse, but you have to see what's true. Come on, with that. Come on, the word of God is truth. Either way, you might change your life. That's up to you. But don't amen. What's your truth? You're going to have to buy the word. We're going to be dead with faith. So when you get over here, you said some examples of things that, can happen in faith over the night. So we'll just have our time to kind of look at one. He said, now the Spirit is the Trinity. Everybody say the Spirit knows. How many know that the Spirit is the third part of the Trinity? Right?
So when it says the Spirit speaketh, it means God speaketh.
Huh? Come on, the Holy Spirit is just as much. Jesus is just as much as the Father. They three are the Spirit. I immediately see this is my sense. That in the latter times, I know we're living apart from the faith. Giving heed is a distant curse, just as we have yesterday. But here it says that in the latter times, again, are getting heed to distant spirits and doctrines of devils. You ain't going to realize that. You have to understand that there are some. You have to sit in line up when somebody preaches something. Doesn't lie to you, but you're married. I'm talking about this as a song. Because he's not over there. There's a little Bible. And that's what's going on. So it says that there are people from the faith
to go after these things. Now, you know, I don't want to get into it tonight, but, you know, there's, to me, when you depart from the faith, when you leave the Spirit of God, when you leave God, you've backslidden. You know, so now to me, your salvation's in jeopardy when you walk away from God. Amen. You all know I'm not an eternal security guy. I do believe a person can walk away from God. God didn't leave them. Notice that. God didn't depart from them. They departed from the faith. They walked away. They decided to follow another doctrine. They decided to follow a seducing spirit. Amen. So you have to see these things. And when you see these things, you understand that it's that much more important for you and I to contend for what's true and what's real and what's right. Now, I'm going to tell you something. What's true and what's real and what's right is not always popular. Because people don't want to hear it these days. The world has gotten so in bed with the world. I mean, the church has gotten so in bed with the world that, and so many things are happening among our families. Folks will throw down the Word of God for their family. Come on now. And, you know, thank God for family. We love our family. But I don't care what my family does. If it's against the Word of God, it's against the Word of God. The Word's true and it's forever settled in heaven. And so we have to stay with the Word of God. Now, you still love people. Right? You still love people that depart from the faith. You still love people that are going after seducing spirits. You still love people that are following doctrines of the devil. But you just don't love what they're doing. And you try to help them, try to correct them, to try to get them back on the right track. And, you know, you just believe God that you can. But there are some folks that once they get off track, you can't get them back on track because they already know everything. And you can show them things in the Word of God and they won't even receive that. That happens a lot in denominational churches. Folks, you can show them things in the Word of God, but they won't take what the Word of God says because they've been so indoctrinated with everything that they've been taught. And some of it's doctrines of devils. Amen. They've been so indoctrinated with things, you can't change their mind. And so you just have to, God says, some of them you just have to turn over to a reprobate mind to believe the lie and be damned. Amen. So we don't want to see that in any of our family. We don't want to believe God to get our family. But at the same time, we have to stay with the Word and still contend. Now, so in 1 Timothy 4:1, he says that some will depart from the faith. Now, in 1 Timothy 5:8, he says this about some folks. He said, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, listen to this, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So there are some folks that can deny the faith. Amen. They deny that the Word of God teaches us that we should work and earn our bread by the sweat of our face and have faith in God and be able to give and believe God to bless us. Come on, you realize your job's not your source, right? Come on, God's our source. But you got to work. You got to have some seed. You got to work and get seed so you can sow seed. And so, folks that won't do that, then they deny the faith because they deny what God tells us to do. Amen. So he says here that some can deny the faith, and you know, I'm telling you, even more so, we see our government has been going on, you know, for many years and years and years. You don't blame it on this administration or whatever, even though things have seemed to have gotten worse for me anyway. But when you see that, you realize that at the time that even welfare was set up, it was set up for a good thing. It was really set up to help people that were having a hard time. And that was a good thing at the time because the country was going through some hard times and people needed some help. But you see, here's the thing. They never did change it from the time they said it. And from that, they kept just getting worse as far as what they were doing, because now it's at a point, it's not helping anybody that's trying to help themselves. It's more for those that won't do anything for themselves. You all have to agree with me on that. Folks are getting free money, free insurance, and free all this junk. And, come on now. It's true. You know, when you start looking at the cost of all health care and stuff like that, when decent people don't want to have to go to a doctor and sure don't want to have to go to a hospital because they know they're going to get that big bill back. Come on now. Some of us older folk, and we, you know, maybe we need a little tweaking here and there, you know, but it costs you an arm and a leg and maybe two toes. And so you just put up with whatever is going on. You know, we believe God, but I believe God gave us doctors also. Yeah. Amen. You know, I mean, there's things that you do. There's preventative health care and that kind of things, you know, that I think is smart. You know, but the thing about it is, you know, for you ladies, you're supposed to go like once a year, get a mammogram, and you go get your mammogram, and then you get a bill for like $3,000-$4,000. You're sitting there scratching your head because your neighbor down the road got it for free. Come on. You know, we're talking about people that won't work here now. They're denying the faith, right? They're not taking care of their family. Amen. You know, and so you see that kind of thing, and it makes you wonder, you know, why is this happening? Well, because there's a real devil, and he wants to destroy families. He would love it if every one of us were dependent on the government, because he's controlling our government, Ben has been for a long time, and controlling our government so that he can get us and manipulate us the way he wants to. That's some of the stuff that's just going on. And so we have to be careful and make sure we're still contending for the faith. We're not denying our faith. Nothing wrong with getting a little help if you need it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying we shouldn't be per se supplied or being kept up by the government just because we're too lazy to work. Come on now. You know, that's if everybody's working and doing what they're supposed to. You know, if everybody would do what they're supposed to do from the Word of God as far as living the life, the church would never lack anything. It would never lack it. You'd never have to take up a special offering for anything. It's true. Because if everybody did their part, the church would have so much money they could do anything they needed to do. But a lot of folks deny the faith. A lot of folks don't follow the Word of God and believe the Word of God. Let me move on. I'm meddling some here. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, there's kind of a strange here. And this verse is talking about taking care of widows, true widows that have nobody else to take care of them. But then it gets on down and it starts talking about the younger widows. And actually, if you read all those scriptures, it talks about, you know, not taking care of anybody under 60 years old, any widow under 60 years old. And if they've got family, the family should be taking care of them. Okay. But here he talks about the younger widows and he says, but the younger widows refuse. And what he meant is don't put them on the list to be taken care of. Study it all this out, and you'll find that's what they were making. They would make a list of the people that they needed to help. And he says, but the younger widows refused. Don't put them on your list. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. Now, I studied that out a little bit more because what I'm bringing off here is they says they'll cast off the faith. And what I really studied out there was this, that some of the younger widows naturally were probably going to remarry, and they were having problems. A lot of the ones that remarried were walking away from the Lord. And so that's what he's talking about, their first faith. They had made a commitment to the Lord, and now later on they get married and they walk away from God. And so it says they cast off their faith. Well, we've seen that happen a lot. I have. I've watched and seen as we'd have things would happen and maybe divorce happens or what, a remarriage happens and stuff, and people just walk away from the Lord, and you're sitting there scratching your head. These folks used to say they love God. These folks, you'd think they was the greatest Christians in the world. And then all of a sudden divorce comes or something happens there. They remarry and not even close. They don't even want to go back to church anymore. Can I get an amen from any? I know everybody can think. As a matter of fact, you know, you look at a lot of things, you see a lot of folks that make their life shipwreck because they walk away from the Lord and destroy themselves. So some absolutely can, they can cast off the faith. They can just like it never happened. I don't know how, but that's what they do. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it talks about people that have been seduced from the faith because of money, for one thing. It says in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money, notice it's the love of money. Everybody ought to know that by now in church. For the love of money, not money. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. See, folks, I've seen it happen here too. I've seen folks be seduced away from God, chasing after money. Amen. Anytime you see, and thank God for raises and bonuses and that kind of thing, you know, and better jobs, we want to see that. But here's the thing. Anytime you're getting a better job and it's going to cause you to leave the church you're in so that you can be on that job, you're going to have to move or whatever. The first thing you ought to be looking for is what church are we going to go to? Where are we going to worship? Not, I'm moving over there because I'm going to make more money. Because if your eye's on the money, folks, you've got your eye off of God. Nothing wrong with doing that. Don't get me wrong. I want to see everybody better themselves. Don't lie and see nobody leave, but I understand people wanting to better themselves. They go somewhere, get a better job, make more money. But at the same time, they better find them a church that they can get grounded, rooted and grounded in and still continue to earnestly contend for the faith while they're contending for the money. Amen. It's truth. We see it happen a whole lot, you know. And so here it says, you know, that they're really seduced away from God by the love of money. Amen. Nothing wrong with money. Nothing wrong with having money. But if you're in love with your money, you're in trouble. What do you mean? When God tells you to do something with your money, you better be ready to do it. If you can't let go of that money, if that money becomes your God, then you're in trouble. Amen. Yeah, folks, we're only on this earth for a short time. I mean, if we live to be 100 years old, it's still just a short time. Can I ask you what millions of dollars in your bank account is going to do you when you die? Thousands of dollars in your bank account, what's it going to do you when you die? Come on. You know, that one of the biggest jokes in the world is folks that have retirement and they just keep right on working and working and working, building their retirement, and they work themselves to the place that by the time they think they ought to use the retirement, they either too old or die before they ever get to use the retirement. What was the point? The point in retirement is if when you get older, you've got money to spend. But see, what happens, there's a mentality. See, there's the enemy can get a hold of you with this thing that you're saving money. You're saving money. We can't spend this money. We've got to put this money up for our retirement. You've got to start looking at your age sooner or later and see where you're at when it comes to things like retirement and that kind of thing. See, y'all, you're looking at me real funny. But you start, I'm getting older, and I start looking at things different now. I'm 62, and you start looking at some things. You know. Yes, I'm believing God for a long life. But at the same time, I realize, you know, when do you retire? You know, I've worked with guys and, you know, they should have been retired. And they just kept right on working. And next day you hear they had a heart attack. Something happened to them. They died. And so all that hard work they did to get that retirement, to take it easy and enjoy their older years, it's not there because they're dead and it's gone. And I know this is not a happy subject, but I'm just showing you something that the love of money can cause you to lose out on a lot of things. Just having it in the bank. Oh, I've got this in the bank. Can I tell you something? One flip of the switch in government and your money ain't worth 2 cents. You better trust in God and believe God. It's you already got paper that's not backed by anything. We know it's not backed by anything because every time they want to send money somewhere, you know, we're broke. We don't know, you know, our ceiling is, debt ceiling's out the roof. We owe all this money and stuff, but something can happen in another country and all of a sudden we can send them $4 or $5 billion. What? What would $4 or $5 billion do to the economy in the United States? But you see, there's this thing. It's about the money. And so that's why the Bible says it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And so we have to be careful and we don't get seduced by that. Nothing wrong with wanting to have money. I don't get there, you know. I don't care about money. I like what money buys. I don't know about you, but you know, money in the bank, that's all right. I mean, it's good to have a little your nest egg or whatever. But I like to know I've got money. If I want to buy something, I can. So you all looking at me real funny. Listen. I've lived around family and have family and been around people that were so tight they wouldn't buy what they wanted to eat. I'm telling you the truth. Folks that go on a vacation and take bologna with them and eat bologna and bread, not because they didn't have the money, but because they were too tight to spend money that they had. And have plenty. One thing you can say about Pastor Mike when he goes one of these days is that he enjoyed his life, he ate good and enjoyed everything, and had a good time while he was living, loving God, just enjoying my life here on earth. I mean, I know it's better up there. I mean, you know, this can't even compare. But I'm going to enjoy my life down here. I'm going to have a good time. I'm not going to sit back and act like some of these folks are. You can't take it with you. Look at your neighbor, just tell him, say, you can't take that with you. You might as well give it to Pastor Mike. I said, you tell him, you might as well give it to Pastor Mike. But you got to be careful and not get seduced by the love of money. Now, here's another one that Paul talks about concerning faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 and 21, he says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Notice again, this is kind of along the lines of the one up in chapter 4, but he tells him again here in chapter 6 here. He says, you've got to watch because some of them have erred concerning the faith. I guess erred would be the right word. I'm Eastern Kentucky, so it's erred to me. But they erred. But notice that they've erred concerning the faith. Why? Because of vain babblings, oppositions of signs falsely so called. In other words, he's saying they're trying to take all this stuff and they're trying to make it Scripture when it's not Scripture. And they're in error over this. It's the folks are some of the folks that are so against God that they're trying to take science and do other things and try to say this is the Word of God. For example, the Big Bang Theory. Right? You know, everybody knows Big Bang Theory, right? Big explosion and all of a sudden everything's here. Man started out as a little amoeba and crawled up out of the water and, you know, finally started breathing air and, you know, eventually lost his tail, started climbing trees, and you know, all this junk that you know, I mean, that takes a lot of faith to believe something like that, don't it? I mean, think about it. Yeah, you got to go a long way in faith right there to believe all that happened. But and then finally we got to this form, and you know, thousands of years have passed, and we seem to have not evolved any farther. This must be the top of the evolution chain or something. But that's not how evolution works. You know, men have gotten a lot smarter. Right? Well, that means their heads ought to get bigger because their brains ought to be bigger. We ought to be evolving, right? Come on. There's some folks that I know, their head ought to be that big around. They know everything. Right? See, how silly it sounds. But scientists really believe this. There are those that do. And you know, Paul says you got to be careful. Those folks get over in error because they're trying to change the Word of God with their science, and you can't. The Word of God's true. Come on. God made the heavens and the earth. It didn't happen by accident. It was a well-planned, well-executed plan of God, and it was executed in God's heart and mind long before anything was ever seen. Yes. The Bible teaches that things happened, and it was before the foundation of the world. In other words, before He did anything, God already had it as a thought. And when He took that thought and He spoke and said, "Let it be," it was. Amen. And it was the way the Word of God says, not the way that scientists say. So you have to be careful with these scientific folks, because they've got some things that they'll stand and show you some things on. And you know, you guys can get mad at me if you want to, but I have a real tough time. And thank God for it. It's a wonderful Christian activity or thing, but I still have a hard time believing that there were dinosaurs on the ark. So you know, it's just me. I'm not telling you, but you know, and they say, "Oh well, we found a place where there was a dinosaur and a man's foot in the same place." Well, there was that pre-Adamic age. You know, and it was this earth, because there ain't been a new earth. So all that activity took place beforehand. And I can believe that there were dinosaurs there. We have the fossils, we have that. I can also believe during that time that the earth was in such chaos under the rule of Satan that you've got, when they start showing you Cro-Magnon man and, you know, and show them evolving. We see that was different types of demonic things that had happened with their bodies, to where, you know, I mean, they were like monkey type, because and I mean, they're getting it right. When you watch Harry Potter and you watch some of those other shows, the little imps that they have, they're getting it right. That's a whole lot what some of the devil's little cohorts look like. And so when they found the fossils, naturally, some of them different sizes, that kind of different shape, because they were tormented to a place that they were not normal looking. And all that, see, was here on this earth before God did it again. Before He spoke. And the Spirit moved on the face of the waters. And He reformed the earth. And replenished the earth with Adam and Eve. See, to replenish means it must have been plenished before. See, so there's a lot of things that science talks about, and people just try to take the, you know, from Genesis through, and they don't understand about the pre-Adamic age and things that went on there. And a lot of that proves out through science. They find in this, but it doesn't prove out through from Genesis up. And so they're sitting there saying, no, the earth is only this old. The earth we know now is. Isn't it? Peter, I believe, talks about the earth that was then, and the world that was then, and the world that is now. So, you know, again, be careful that with science things, that, you know, and just don't take everything down, that just don't gobble it down. I've not been to the ark. One of these days we're going to go down there and visit. I hear it's great. But in those particular things, I'm just going to walk on by, because I think that's a reach of a man trying to prove, because of the fossils on earth, they're trying to prove, and the only way they can prove by whatever the way they're doing things is to say they were on the ark. I don't believe it. I'm sorry. You can believe it. If you want to believe it, that's fine. I'm not arguing with you about it. But I just don't believe it. I don't think they were on the ark. Amen. You believe what you want to. Again, that's science. And he talks about if we're not careful, we can get caught up in science there, and we can err. Now, let's jump on a little bit more. Paul talks about the fact that some people will overthrow the faith of others. Look here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. I need to hurry. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So here we have, again, profane and vain babblings. Men just talking out the side of their mouth. Talking to hear their head rattle. Saying different things. And, saying this has happened, that's happened. You know, I hear, people talking about pre-trib, mid-trib, no trib, and all kinds of stuff like that, when the rapture's taking place and all that. And they were doing some of the same kind of things. They were saying, well, the rapture's already happened, and it's, Now, there was a resurrection that happened. Right? Not only did Jesus raise, but other folks raised too. Because they went in the city, when you study it out. But that's not what he's talking about when he's talking about the catching up. Now, the word rapture is not in the Bible, by the way. Don't argue with anybody about that, because it's not. But the word rapture means to be caught up. And then when you go to 1 Thessalonians, it talks about that we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Right? Those that are dead first, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain, be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Okay? So there is that great last resurrection that's going to come. But see, here's the thing. You have to be careful, because folks have their own opinion about where we're at in history and that kind of thing. I'm not a big stickler on, and this is just me, about exactly where we're at, but I believe that we're living in the last days. And the reason you say, well, why not? You ought to know. And here's the thing. Be ready and you don't have to worry. Just stay ready and you don't have to worry. If he comes and gets us tomorrow, we go. If he don't come and get us till 20 years from now, we go. But we're ready all the time. I'm not going to argue about when it's going to be, what, and trying to get folk trying to figure out when Jesus is coming. Well, just stay loving Jesus, stay in the Word, stay with God. Don't matter when Jesus comes, you get to go. Amen. And I like what Rod Parsley used to say. I want to be on the first one trip out. Right? I want to just go ahead and get on out of here, praise God. Be ready. So don't listen to everything that you hear about certain things. Don't let somebody else overthrow your faith by bringing up some kind of stupid something. Go right back to the Word and see what the Word says, and get yourself settled and calmed in the Word, and quit listening to them. Listen, you can't listen to everybody that's on TV, on the internet, or whatever. Do you hear what I said? Oh, they're good people. They've got a program on every week. If you got money, you can put on any kind of program you want every week, because those programmers just want the money. Come on, it don't matter where you're preaching the truth. It don't matter if you're off the wall and crazy as a bat. If you got the cash, they'll put you up there. It's true. So you can't just listen to everything. I've listened to some of those folks, and some of those folks are supposed to be answering Bible questions and give some of the craziest answers I ever heard in my life. Not even close to biblical. But people take it like it's the gospel because they're on that show. Be careful about those kind of things. Now, I'm going to quit with this one. He says this in 2 Timothy 3:8. He says that some will be reprobate concerning the faith. He said, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. When you start looking at people that are reprobate concerning the faith, it's people that you're not going to change their mind about anything. They've erred, they're in error, and it doesn't matter how much you give them the Word of God to correct them, they will not receive correction. We have folks in our government, in all of it, we have folks that call themselves Christians. But you saw the little video that we put up here the other day when they went out and just started asking people for one Bible verse. And they couldn't even give them one. Finally, one guy gave one of the Ten Commandments. You have folks that are running our Christian country that probably couldn't give you one Bible verse. And they call themselves Christians. Come on now. See, we have to be careful about people that are reprobates concerning the faith, because they really don't, they don't care about God. All they want you to think is they do care about God so they can get elected, so they can have, get their way. And, well, you know, if they can sell you something, all of a sudden they're a brother and sister. Right? Trying to get you to buy something. You have to be careful, church, because we see all kinds of this stuff going on. And that's why Jude said, you've got to earnestly contend for the faith. You've got to know what the Word says and let your faith stand in that, not in what all the stuff we've talked about. And you see it happening. Everything we've said, we still see this stuff going on. Amen. There's folks that, you know, you get around, they just don't want to hear about God. They're reprobates. If they don't believe there's a God in the heaven to go to, then they're reprobates. You just, I mean, all you can do is try to witness to them, and if they won't receive the Word, then you, that's all you can do. You've done your part. You've tried to witness to them. But you have to be careful and don't let what they say back to you affect you, because you know it's the truth. You know, because some folks, they don't care. They just plain out and say, I can't believe you believe in that foolishness. You know, we've had them before. Remember, who was it? Jesse Ventura said that Christianity and Christians were just weak-minded, use Christianity for a crutch. They put him in as governor anyway. See, you see what I'm saying? You know, Christian people ought not vote for somebody like that. Come, I'm just telling you how it is. Matter of fact, Christian folks ought not vote for anybody that's not truly child of God, that's going to do godly things when they get in an office. If it's not going to be godly, we shouldn't vote for them. Amen. And sometimes, man, that puts you in a tough spot. Because it's the lesser of two evils. But let's just trust God, and we pray and we believe God, that God will lead us in the right direction of what we need to do there according to His Word. And we'll be all right. Stay away from the reprobates. Follow after God with all your heart. Earnestly contend for the faith. As long as you do that, you can't go wrong. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. Praise God. God is so good all the time. Anybody here...